I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's always a pleasure.
I realise we've talked about adding value in an earlier podcast. However, I sense it's something that's always uppermost in the mind of a commercial property investor. And I guess the underlying question is, how can you accelerate the natural growth in value for the property?
Well, you're right in saying that you want accelerated growth, but you need to understand what natural growth is so that when you make the comparison, it becomes clear. You see, you'll get natural growth with rents rising over time or a firming or falling of the selling yield or sometimes a combination of the two. But when we're talking about adding value, you'll recall that's the eighth step in my investment formula. And there's actually a few ways that you can help speed up the rate at which your property grows in value. They basically fall under three categories. The first being construction related, and that involves undertaking an upgrade or perhaps a complete refurbishment, even changing the use in the process, and also subdividing the property into smaller components. So when we're talking about refurbishing, that means that you'll gut the property and strip it back to its bare floor, walls, and ceiling, and then replace everything with modern-day materials and services. And you will usually do this when your tenants vacate at the end of the lease. It is possible to do a refurb with a tenant in place, but it's not easy and you generally have to waive rent for periods and so on. In any event, the main purpose of upgrading your property is to attract a better tenant at a higher rental. And sure, you will need to make an investment as far as the refurbishing costs are concerned. However, most of these can be claimed as depreciation over a 5 or 7 year period. And the rental increase, when divided by the current selling yield, should represent an increase in value of somewhere between 2 to 3 times the actual cost of construction involved. So if we're talking about changing use, then greatest improvement will usually come about with older buildings where you've had a long-standing tenant who finally vacates, or where the building, having been sold vacant, lends itself to conversion for occupation by a tenant, you know, maybe seeking an image statement being an older building. And, you know, most of the architectural features are left intact, and it comes down to a clever partitioning or feature lighting or modern air conditioning, and of course, brand new high-tech services. So after that, you find there's very little ongoing maintenance incurred involved either for you or your tenant.
What about subdividing the property?
Well, when it comes to subdivision, it could involve the whole building, in other words, floor by floor, or it would be possible to even subdivide each floor as well. And this obviously works best when you have all the common area facilities like the lift and the stairs and the bathrooms all located close together, because that way you need undertake only minimal partitioning to achieve the necessary subdivision. One thing you will need to ensure is that the dividing partition between tenancies extends to the underside of the floor above to achieve the required level of fire rating. And you will also need to install separate electrical meters for each tenancy. Other than that, it's generally a fairly easy exercise with the right floor plan, which is something that you would be mindful of at the time you originally purchased the property. In any event, a subdivision like this can shave about 0.5 percentage point off your selling yield. So as you can see, it's a very simple way to add value with really not that much outlay.
Okay, we've looked at some of the physical aspects. What steps can you take as far as the day-to-day management is concerned?
Okay, well, let's move on to the category of property management. And here we've got three areas you can work on: the rental and your various costs or outgoings, being proactive as a property manager or having your property manager do that, and also being creative. Now, the logical move is to achieve an increase in your rental, but you must first ensure that you're seen as a caring landlord. And you do this by undertaking some cosmetic improvements at least 9 to 12 months before an upcoming market review, which is intended to place your tenant in a receptive frame of mind.
You mentioned reducing costs.
Well, yes. And while your tenant may pay or reimburse you for these costs or outgoings, when it comes to rent review time, if there is a dispute as to the level of rent, the determining valuer looks at total occupancy costs. Now, obviously, the lower the outgoings, the higher your potential rental increase will be, because it means that having compared another building and established the total occupancy costs, if your building is run efficiently and low costs, the greater proportion of the review will go into the net rent, and therefore it's in everyone's interest to keep a close watch on the level of the property outgoings. Now, as a variation to this, you should encourage your property manager to be proactive. And by that I mean taking the initiative 12 months before the lease falls due. Now, assuming your tenants are happy where they are, your property manager might broach with them the topic of exercising their option early. And by doing so, just float the idea that he or she might be able to swing a month rent-free in the process. Now, as you can appreciate, your property manager needs to act as though they are proposing this without any authority from you as the owner. And at that point, you only might have a year to run on the current lease, whereas if you can have them to exercise their option early, you then end up with a 4 or a 6 year lease term, depending on the actual option period involved. And that means that you could then either sell the property for top dollar or refinance it and pull out some equity to go off and buy another property.
Is there anything else while we are talking about property management?
Well, one of the things you need to do or have your property manager do is to keep an eye on the statutory revaluations that take place every 4 years. Now, these are undertaken by local councils and they form the basis for your council rates, your water rates, and also your land tax assessments. So once again, they're part of your total occupancy costs. And even though your tenant may pay them, it's you as owner, or it's only you as owner, who can raise an objection to these new assessments. And as I understand it, there's a 60-day statutory period from receiving the assessment for you to object. Now, your property manager can handle that on your behalf, but it just helps keep the outgoings in check.
Do you have any final suggestions?
Well, I suppose you need to keep an eye on where your property sits in the cycle for that sector. Now, I've covered this quite a number of times in my various blogs and give you an idea of where the markets are, particularly the office markets. But nonetheless, you do need to be aware of where your property sits within the current cycle for your capital city. And look, each capital city cycle will vary, and if you're planning to sell, you need to make sure you do so before you actually reach the expected peak. You've always got to leave something in for the next person. If they believe that the market will go on uninterrupted, well, they're going to pay you top dollar. As soon as there's any fear, you run into problems. So it's better to be 6 months early than a month late. And you'll quickly discover that it's very hard to sell into a falling market. And that's because buyers will want to wait and see if the market's going to fall even further. Unlike the stock market, where all you've got to do is simply reduce your price to get a sale, that's not going to happen with commercial property. But having said that, if you do have a long-term lease in place with a strong tenant, you're well positioned to ride out any downturn or flattening out in the market. It's simply a matter of being aware and then making a strategic decision.
Well, that all sounds extremely helpful.
Look, you obviously need to keep your eye on property cycles. I mean, never wait till the very top before going to the market, because it's always good to leave something in there for the next person, because if you miss the peak, it's very hard to sell any property when you're in a falling market.
Okay. Thanks again for explaining everything to us.
Well, as I said earlier, it's my pleasure.